Good afternoon. I think we'll get started now. My name is Jennifer Cook. I'm co-director of the Africa program here at CSIS. We want to welcome you here and welcome our guest, Ambassador Amadou Ould Abdallah, whom I'll introduce in a moment. I do want to say this is one of the first of a series we'll be holding on East Africa, the questions of security and governance. Primary focus initially will continue to be Somalia and Kenya. The point of the forum is really looking at rising U.S. interests in the region, the potential tensions between a security agenda, a governance agenda, and how best can the United States help meld those into a comprehensive, effective, and long-term approach to the region. So this morning we had Peter Anyanyango of Kenya. We'll be holding a series on Kenyan reconstruction, and we'll be having a panel in late April, find David to find the date, again on Somalia, looking at various political aspects, the humanitarian aspects, and so forth. But we're delighted to have with us today Ould Abdallah, who is the, as you all know, the Secretary General's Special Envoy to Somalia, appointed in August 2007. Who has quite a task before him, and I think deserves all of our support and good wishes for this. And Ambassador Abdallah, previously, I came to know him when he was first here in Washington at the Global Coalition for Africa, has been a good friend to the CSIS Africa program. Previously, he was at the United Nations as a senior political and economic advisor. He was a special representative for Burundi. And among his many other, a very long biography here, he held many senior positions within the Mauritanian government, including Minister of Foreign Affairs and Development Cooperation, Ambassador to the U.S. And to the European Union. So this is a very seasoned, world-traveled diplomat who is faced with an enormous task of trying to move Somalia forward out of the gridlock which it's currently stuck in. So I think I'll turn it over to you, and we'll open up after that about 20 minutes and to questions and answers. So welcome and thank you for coming to spend time with us.
Thank you. It is always a pleasure to be, with a gathering of many friends, you and Stephen, SOMB, Ambassador Volpe, and so many other friends. I see many faces I have known, I have worked with, including my former assistant, Lady Marshall, and others. So I'm very happy to be in this place where I have been many times. Thank you. I'm going to talk of a very difficult problem. I don't pretend to know Somalia. There are more specialists in this room on Somalia who have written extensively on the issue. My point is just to see how to try to find a way out of the crisis. And it is very difficult. It is indeed very difficult. So I'm making a short presentation. I usually don't like to read, but I'm trying to see how we could move forward. The main advantage I think I have is to be new. So and trying to avoid understanding fully the crisis, though it is, of course, important to understand the crisis, the background, and so on. But it is so well known because the crisis has been with us for 18 years that we have to produce something. So, one, this Somali crisis is one of the longest running conflicts with all known negative consequences on the state structure. Don't have a functioning state, even by African standards. The consequences are also on the mentality of the parties, individuals, whatever opposition or majority, their own behavior. But what I consider more issue of concern is the impact on the member of the international community itself, NGOs, scholar, member states, including United States. But the impact on our attitude is very interesting and new for me. So on a settlement, the Somalis themselves has been skeptical, and maybe they are still skeptical of a possibility for settlement. And they have been so for a long time. But the second group, which is us, we are increasingly, I'm afraid to say, cynical. For many of us, the analysis of a conflict or of Somali has become a kind of substitute to practical problem solving. We are trying to see how many clan, sub-clan, or this and that, rather than saying, how to help find a solution out. So as the conflict has lasted for almost 18 years, communities, I don't like the word clans, Somali are in tribes, like many parts of Africa or Middle East. But I don't know the first who translated into clans. And the clans in French, I don't know in English, but even in English, has kind of negative connection. Because Somali calls themselves qabail, qabila, qabail, the plural, which is tribe. But clans is like, I don't know how to call it, a syndicate or something, but they are just tribes. And so communities and even families have been divided. Almost everywhere, suspicion and doubt prevail over confidence and cooperation. The possibility of reaching a settlement is questioned by those who lived through 18 years of war and 14 agreements signed. This uncertain situation has had a debilitating, it has disabled people. It has a soporific, they are not convinced anymore. Leaders and people of influence, the elite, are not sure it will work. Moreover, it is often, the situation of doubt is often exploited by those who benefit from the war economy in managing ports, airports, roadblocks, arms, and illegal sale of aid products. Without mentioning traffic in irregular migration, there has been a mood of resignation, fatality, for a long time in the country, and violence and misery are silently accepted as inevitable everyday part of life. People and leaders are coping, also trying to adapt to this situation. However, there are some brave, determined people trying to bring about change. They deserve our support despite the many challenges they face. At international level, there has been undoubtedly a sense of fatigue when it comes to Somalia. Many people just say, my God, Somalia, and not only in the West, but even in Africa and in the Middle East, when you mention Somalia, people, just hopeless. Many believe that the leaders are not ready for peace. And when I said leader, all leaders, our tendency to think government, I think it's true for the opposition or businessmen of diaspora. And they are not ready for peace and seems to be ready to fight each other until there is no more power or wealth to control or to share. People are ready to fight, but to fight, the winner will get what? There is nothing left. The economy is plundered. The fish industry is really provided with big resources and livestock. Humanitarian assistance and other support to alleviate the suffering of millions of Somali continues to be provided. Although very welcome, such aid cannot bring a lasting peace and stability. in my opinion, it should not be used by the United States or European Union as a substitute or an excuse for not taking action. The French has a nice word for it, il faut faire quelque chose. We have to do something. Yes, we give assistance, but assistance cannot solve a problem. Despite all this, in between brackets, I'm not condemning assistance, but it should not be an excuse not to do more. Despite all this, I believe that a settlement is possible and is feasible within a relatively short period of time. What is the entry point? To be effective, that agreement should be innovative and cover a limited number of essential issues. We cannot solve all the problems of Somalia, including the aftermath of 18 years war, in a conference or two or three. We have to address a limited number of issues, see how to find a way out, and from that point, reinforce or encourage confidence between the parties and try to build on it to do something more. And I think it is possible. To be effective, it should cover, as I said, the agreement should cover a limited number of issues. But not all of Somalia problem will or should be solved at once or after one or two meetings. The overriding priority is to start somewhere. And the next 2 weeks will be a crucial test. On how we will move, because every Somali, because the nomadic society in Somali are, I don't say they are a democratic society, but it is like everyone is a boss. So to delegate to whom? Who can speak on behalf of whom? And this make it very difficult for the leaders, for the communities to delegate someone to speak on their behalf. He is tied, he has to say this and this. My point is that Somalia has been abandoned by, first of all, by its elite. And this is a big contentious problem I have with my Somali partners. They would like to blame others. It is not specific to Somalia. It is mostly in developing countries. But with Somalia, it has reached a point I have never seen somewhere else. It is American, or Ethiopian, or Eritrean, or whatever. Never Somalia. To me, so the country has been abandoned, first of all, by its own elite. Whatever political elite, intellectual, or business elite. They have to make a minimum compromise and move ahead to help international community help them. And when I give them the case of Congo, of Sierra Leone, of Liberia, Guinea-Bissau, who are less structured, more divided, it is always a mistake of Somalia. I think it is good for Somalia to say we have the primary responsibility of stability in our country lies on us. Abandoned by its elite, whatever the denomination of that elite, political, military, religious, business, or communities. But overall, if we would like to help Somalia after the first step taken by Somalia themselves, I think international community, especially Security Council, should accept that the situation in Somalia is a threat to peace and security. Please give a mandate of to the UN to try to do something. And the recent incident involving a French luxury boat is very important. Piracy, irregular movement of people, and all the traffics are a demonstration of how the situation in Somalia is getting off hand. For instance, this French ship was hijacked off Yemen coast. It was not in Somali water. It was really on international water and closer to Yemen. And the French are now moving to table a resolution to Security Council for the first time. 1 month ago, when I ask in the statement to Security Council to address problem of piracy, permanent member states were not excited about it. And now there is a resolution being discussed. Somalia is a threat to the environment because the country don't have a functioning, effective government. Many individual and society dump chemical product, dangerous product, in Somalia and off Somalia coast, and in all impunity, all kind of weight and circulation of drug and so on. What to do about it? Three, Somalia is a threat to law and order within and outside Somalia. These franchise youth and gangs are, you know, active in their new countries in Western Europe, in particular. So, in my opinion, international community, and especially member of UN Security Council, should help address this situation. The first step, I see it at three levels. One, mention in Cambodia, former Yugoslavia, Liberia, Sierra Leone, Sudan, but never in Somalia. It is impunity. No one is raising the question of impunity for Somalia. People who have killed, deported, maimed, you know, what to do on impunity, how to bring to justice, you know, the criminal who have destroyed their country, who have killed many of their countrymen and countrywomen. What to do? Impunity has to be addressed. And to do it, I think, yesterday in the UN, they told me some people are working on it. We have to target a number of individuals for targeted sanctions. One, again, like in Sudan, like in Sierra Leone, Liberia. How could these people who have misbehaved keep traveling, opening checking account, and having their children, their families nicely hosted in the West? We generous social payment. Again, these are not my ideas. These are suggested by many Somali who write to us, and many NGOs are answering. Three major countries should address the responsibility to protect, and it is a dilemma. I think 3 years ago, there was big discussion in the UN on how to protect population are not protected by their central government. This may apply not to Somalia, or not to Somalia, but it is an issue how to protect the Somali. Almost 3 million Somali live overseas. Close to 1 million are internally displaced. How to help, how to assist this thing? So, I would like to stop here. I will not add more. I'm ready for a question, but just a reminder, in my first presentation to Security Council last December, I suggested three options. One, if we continue business as usual, meaning to do the same thing, spending millions of dollars for humanitarian assistance, being present, but we have not seen the outcome. We have not seen a positive outcome of this approach. Business as usual, we give humanitarian assistance, we meet and say we have to do something for someone. We have been doing it for 18 years, and we have no peace, we have no stability. The other, which should not be excluded as an option, is to withdraw from someone. Protect international community credibility. Why should we spend millions of dollars, get exposed without concrete results, when the same amount of resources or less could maybe stabilize East Congo, or reinforce democracy in Mali or in Niger? Why spending on Somalia if they are determined to commit suicide? And three, to change course of action, to be seriously engaged with Somalia, and to address a number of issues and to focus. And to me, the responsibility is more mostly with permanent security council members, in the US, UK, France, with the support, of course, of Somalia. Somalia have to do that. That is a minimum compromise. You cannot keep fighting for a winner-take-all for 18 years. Everyone would like to control everything immediately. And this cannot work. So how to convince someone that there is a need of compromise, a need of power sharing within the government and between the government and the opposition? I have been to Asmara to speak to the opposition. And I invited them to visit me in Nairobi. And they came 2-3 weeks ago, a large delegation, different components of the opposition. And we discussed how to move ahead. The Prime Minister, the President, and the Speaker have proposed a reconciliation program based on discussion within Somalia, between Somalia, and a discussion between the Somalis themselves in Mogadishu and the opposition living abroad. So the government is ready to discuss with the opposition. The opposition has said they are ready to do it. But Somalia being very complex, we don't know if the government will not be forced to say, yes, we will wait. And the opposition might say the same thing. We have to wait. Because we have two problems. When I say some are skeptical or cynical, everyone would like discussion to be called negotiation, which attracts so many freelance mediators. And you know, you have sometimes more external observer than participant from a conference, which is not helpful. Second, Somalis themselves have been used to having 1-2 years conference to negotiate. And this makes life very difficult. You know, the last agreement on which this government is based is the result of a two-year-long discussion, negotiation. My discussion with Somali government and opposition, I suggested that no discussion lasts more than a week, than 1 week. If we see what happened in other African countries in the West, National Conference of Benin or in Mali, they have been 1 week, 5 days. So I told all my Somali friends and partners that I'm personally not very excited to attend a 2 years long conference or a conference with 2,000 participants. Yeah. And especially Somali speak the same language. Why should we, foreigners, attend the meeting? Maybe we attend the opening and we leave them. Save time, save money if we don't attend. And it would avoid the show of trends or of more democratic or more patriotic. So my suggestion is limited number of Somali meeting to initiate a discussion, then to enlarge to a maximum 20, and all this in 1 or 2 weeks in a negotiation. Discussion lasting more than 2 weeks, 3 weeks is bound to failure and is not serious. They better go to a climate disaster or a place. We don't like to be concerned. So I would like to stop here. I know we have some Somali here in the room. I mean, American probably from Somali origin. I'm happy to see them. I hope it will not be an internal debate. This is not a deterrent to prevent you from asking questions. But last time I attended a meeting, 60% were Somali, and it was an internal conflict. So I'm not going to respond if it is between Somali, honestly. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ambassador. I wonder, and I'll just start.